This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come after me. I'm a man.
Rich Eisen.
We're talking about practice.
From the Rich Eisen Studios in New York City.
Thank you, Sarah, everybody.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Ryan Clark. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Hosts of Bussin' with the Boys, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Day number three of our four-day residency here in New York City. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're here in Lower Manhattan, the Disney
Dessert.
Wonderful World of Studios. There, it's unbelievable.
I can't believe you just say those words every day.
Like, it's awesome.
Beautiful. It's awesome.
You know, I mean, very rare can I say, well, my morning started with Good Morning America, which is down the hall.
Right.
It's unbelievable. At any rate, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, fresh off the Get Up set, are going to be here on the set. And we also, we just said goodbye to Ryan Clark, who is here in hour number one. Joining us here to kick off our second hour of this day is my Hall of Fame friend, Kurt Warner. Good to see you, Kurt. How are you, sir?
Hey. I'm good, my man. How are you?
I am doing fine. I don't know what to start with you, so let's start with Philip Rivers. What went through your head when you heard Philip got the call from the Colts, he said, sure, and he's going through this? What's going through your mind about this one, Kurt?
I mean, I think what was going through everybody else's mind. I mean, it's crazy. You know, I will take you back. I remember I was a few years out of the league when the Cardinals had some struggles at quarterback, and they never ended up calling me, but there was just speculation, people talking about, hey, they should call Kurt. And I remember running out in the backyard and start throwing the football a little bit and taking some drops and like, okay, if they do call, could I do this? You know, could I come back and play? And the biggest thing was, I'm not as worried, you know, from a physical standpoint in terms of throwing the football. Like, that's something that, you know, when you know how to do it, you don't really lose it. I know Phillip's been around football, obviously coaching and stuff the last few years. So I'm not as worried about him being able to throw a football. You know, my biggest concern, I really had two of them. The first one was just the mental speed of the game. Not being around it, not being in it, and thinking that after a couple years out, I could actually step back onto a football field and play anywhere close and process anywhere close to what I was doing when I was playing, you know, after having not done that and been in that kind of setting for a while. And so that was the first thing that I was thinking. And then the second thing I was thinking was, man, the one thing I wouldn't want to do is come back and then have something, you know, dumb, like, you know, I pull my hamstring, you know, trying to move out of the pocket because I'm an old guy trying to play. And then it just becomes this, you know, kind of wasted, you know, whole scenario that plays out. And so those were a couple of the thoughts that went through my mind. There are obviously some things that I'm thinking about with Philip here, is that, you know, I think he'll be fine throwing the football. But, you know, when you put yourself out there with these athletes, you know, that are playing and the speed of the game, if you're not giving yourself the best opportunity to succeed mentally and seeing it and processing it, you know, it concerns me a little bit. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm going to be watching on Sunday. If he actually gets in there and plays or starts in this game, going to be a huge challenge. And I think, like most people, I just want to see it go fairly well or average or some good things out there. I just don't want to see this as a kind of a crash and burn situation.
Yeah, he's in Seattle where the defenses there, Kurt, over the last month have been wrapping the game up by the second quarter. You know, like they've given Sam Darnold a couple of afternoons or evenings off in the second half. And that's the question about, I mean, neck up, no questions about Philip Rivers. And as you said, arm strength, ability to throw the football, not so much. It's all the other stuff and timing, I would imagine, as well, right? I mean, yeah. That said, though, do you really think it could go well for him to step off of, you know, an airplane for after sitting around, or obviously coaching is another thing, and playing the Seattle Seahawks, Kurt, who could be one of the best team in the NFL at the end of the day?
I mean, I think
I feel stupid asking somebody who's Mr. Magic Carpet Ride, can it happen? You know what I mean? Like, you are the embodiment of anything can happen.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's two sides of it that I respect Phillip Rivers and who he is as a player. And this whole thing enough to not just go into it and say, oh, there's no chance he's going to have any success, because a great player and, you know, and putting himself out there like this, I respect him too much for that. But I also respect the game a lot as well. And what goes into playing this position at this level with the athletes that are on the other side of the field and all the different nuances that go into playing the position, I respect that so much too, that I don't know how a guy comes off the couch after 5 years of not being a part of it and not being in it and not doing it, and having success or a high level of success in such a short period of time. And so, you know, I fall on both sides that I really don't know. I do think it's going to be really, really difficult and a huge challenge. And not something that I'm expecting him to come out and have great success. But I'm hoping he does. I'm hoping that this is an unbelievable story, and I hope that he can come back and do some really good things for this team and maybe give them a little bit of hope down the stretch.
Did I really just ask the "can this be possible" question
to a man
who's got a Sports Illustrated cover of "Who is this guy" from his Magic Carpet Ride
flex
and his bust replica behind him? Like, I just did that.
You gotta get those centered.
What is my problem
there? A lot of people probably thought I was sitting on a couch until I showed up in '99 with the Rams, but I was playing a lot of football, you know, even when nobody knew I was playing football. So it was not like I was just coming out of nowhere, having not played football and just showed up and jumped on the scene in the NFL. I'm fascinated to see, like everybody else, how this is going to play out.
Yeah, you were an Arena League couch, a European League couch, you know, and now's the time, I guess, for us to uncork is this the latest sign that the NFL has a quarterback development problem, that a team that does suddenly have to get down a quarterback through who might be hurt? Now, obviously, that might have something to do with it. Riley Leonard might not be able to go, but they're calling Phillip Rivers up and saying, what do you think? What do you got left in you? Kurt, is that a sign of a problem still on the quarterback development front?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. First of all, it's a sign of, you know, the difference between starting level quarterback play and then in most situations, the drop off from that is that, you know, there's not a lot of guys, you know, that are in those backup roles that, you know, teams say, okay, this is the guy that can carry us and carry a good football team and take us where we want to go. And so it's trying to take one of those guys from the past and see if you can recapture a little bit of that magic. It can be, you know, the developmental part of it, but obviously, you know, with Indy, it was a couple crazy situations with Anthony Richardson. And then obviously a young quarterback, that's still, you know, getting up to speed in a Riley Leonard, that would be in those spots anyways. But I think it just shows that teams are always on the lookout for good quarterbacks, and there can't be enough good quarterbacks. And so you have to, you know, uncover every rock, and you've got to try to find a guy that can, you know, give you a level of success beyond your starter if your starter goes down. But, we know it's often a struggle to get 32 guys, to find 32 guys that are bona fide NFL starting quarterbacks. And so when you get beyond that, it just shows you teams are looking for that next guy, or, you know, trying to bring a guy along, and they're just not there yet.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we saw Joe Burrow in his press conference on Wednesday sound, quite frankly, downright Andrew Lucky, Kurt, you know, where I'd love for you to translate for me, since you speak fluent quarterback, what you thought made of Joe Burrow's comments on Wednesday?
I don't know. I mean, I hate to speculate on what specifically he was talking about. Was he talking about, you know, more of the Andrew Luck thing where it's been a rough go and it hasn't been as fun playing the game because of the injuries and getting banged around and having to play through injuries? It hasn't been as smooth and easy as I thought it would be. So that's taken away the fun. Is it more, you know, a shot at where the organization is and the limitations that we've seen inside the organization, whether that be, you know, the struggles on defense where they can go out and play well and still not win games, play well offensively and still not win games? Is it, you know, some of the hits that he's taken over the years because the offensive line has never really been solidified? And so those things, not winning and not having the level of success or having personal success, but not team success like he wanted, is taking away some of the fun, you know, in this. So I don't know which way to read it. But I do understand to a degree, you know, how those things make the game a lot less fun when you're a competitor, and especially when you're playing well and your team's not having success and you're at this stage in a season after having made some runs in the playoffs at this stage in the season, you're like, I got four games left and, you know, 4 weeks left in the season. We got nothing to play for, you know, and it's not fun, you know, once you've been there. When you're a young guy and you just love playing and you're trying to prove something, that's one thing. After you've gotten to the Super Bowl and after you've played well in the playoffs, to be out of the playoffs early in a season is kind of like, man, can we just start the season over and let's do this again? We don't really have anything, you know, to play for from that standpoint. So there's a lot of different directions, I think, you know, his comments, you know, could lead us to. I'm not sure which one it is, but I understand it from any of those sides that it's not fun to play the game and not win and just be getting beat up and to go through injuries and struggle through that. And, you know, maybe to be on a team that just doesn't have the pieces that, you know, meet your level of play to allow you to, you know, to thrive the way you feel you should be based on the way you're playing.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little QB Confidential All 22. Since we saw the Jaguars in the London game, they've lost only once, and that was a game in which they led by 19 against the Houston Texans. They've really come on strong, and they're now 9-4. Are you seeing anything different out of Trevor Lawrence over the last month and a half,
Kurt? I think Trevor's playing really well. Some of his better games the last couple weeks, I've felt. And you know, the thing, and we talked about it when we were in London, the thing is, Trevor is a really good quarterback and he can make every throw and he can wow you and probably will wow you with some throws every single week. The biggest thing with Trevor through this point of his career is that there's always, you know, moments in games, you know, four, five, six times in a game where he misses a read that's just like an easy read that he's made a million times and he just misses it and it leaves you scratching your head. Or after watching him make an incredible throw, he misses two layup throws that you're just like, how does this happen? How does somebody so talented and who's done so many good things miss this many what we would call easy things in the NFL? And that's really been the one thing that's held him back, in my opinion, from becoming an elite type quarterback in the National Football League. And I feel he's gotten more comfortable and been better in those areas during this stretch. Their defense has played great. Brian Thomas has gotten more involved. Jacoby Myers, I think, was a great addition for them. But they just look like a complete team right now. He's not having to carry them as he has in the past. And I think because of all of that, he's playing more solid football from top to bottom during this stretch. And the team's playing more solid football.
And there was much made before and after the Eagles' loss in Los Angeles on Monday Night Football that Nick Sirianni took more of a role in the offense leading up to the game, and they were talking about it afterwards. Anything that you saw on film, any different concepts that the Eagles ran on Monday night, Kurt?
Not really. a lot of the same base concepts that that they run. And again, I mean, I don't mind their concepts. I know you might say they don't have a lot of them, and so you may call them, you know, call it a little more simple, elementary from that standpoint. But I still think they run good, solid concepts. Like, I don't look at their plays. Like, there's some teams out there where I look at their plays and go, what in the world are these people doing? Like, what are they trying to do? What's
you
the quarterback
share? You
supposed
share?
To think?
You want to share?
I'm not,
you
I'm not
name
sharing those
you
right
share?
Now.
Come on.
Maybe at, maybe at another time. Maybe we'll get into that.
Okay.
But, good tease. But I don't think that when I watch the Eagles play. Like, I watch them and I'm like, hey, it's a good, solid concept. It might be a simple concept, but they've had great success with that concept over the years. It's a concept that should work, you know, against the coverage that they're going against. And so I am fine with it. And, you know, in this game, there were a lot of opportunities out there. I thought, you know, Jalen made, you know, a number of plays in this game and a number of plays that guys on the other end didn't make that could have changed the complexion of it. He missed some plays in this game, which we see. You know, the four interceptions, I'm actually just posted it on QB Confidential. I broke down the four interceptions. So if somebody wants to go and watch that and see kind of the little things that went into that and, you know, some on Jalen, some on other parts, some on the defense as always. So, but yeah, I didn't see a dramatic change in anything that they did. You know, but again, it wasn't bad stuff. I didn't, you know, go watch the film and go, gosh, nobody's open. There's nowhere to throw the football. You know, there were opportunities out there, some made, some not made.
And Travis Kelce went on his pod with his bro on the New Heights pod and said that he's struggling finding the answers to what ails, what can be fixed. What are you seeing? What are you seeing, Kurt, from the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs in general, I think, are struggling offensively with a lot of different issues. You know, up front, they had a number of issues. You know, to Travis's point, you know, he'd always been that guy for Patrick in the past. You know, the guy that, hey, when I need a play, he's going to make it for me. It, I can look his direction and we're going to have this connection that we're just going to find a way. And Travis, you know, by his own admission, he's not that guy anymore. He's not creating the separation, that feel for the game or, you know, the ability to, you know, to just find ways to get open is not happening like it has in the past. I think, you know, the age and the wear and tear, it just isn't as explosive and elusive as he once was. And now that puts the onus on some of these other guys to be that for Patrick Mahomes. And as we talked about on game day last week, I don't believe these players are that. They've got some good players, but I don't believe they have number one difference makers, and especially when it comes to like being route runners. They might be great if you can get the ball to them in space and they can make someone miss and run. But if you're asking somebody, you know, to dial up a great route and to beat some guys in one-on-one and to be that go-to guy that you can build around, I don't believe they have that guy in their offense in the passing game since Travis isn't there anymore. And it shows up, and especially shows up when you're playing against great defenses like the Texans.
In a couple minutes I have left with you, Kurt Warner, the two 11-win teams with second-year quarterbacks that are surprising with the Patriots and the Broncos on big, fat win streaks, have their hands full at home this weekend. The Bills coming in, trying to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Patriots, who could wrap up this division with a win. Yeah. And then there's the Packers taking on the Broncos. What are you looking to see out of May and Knicks in these games? What do you want to see from him, Kirk?
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Drake May, I don't really need to see him do, you know, anything different than he's been doing. He's been playing the game extremely well. He's been seeing it. He's been making the throws. He's manipulating things. I guess, you know, the one thing it's probably going to take in this game is a couple of those special downfield throws that he's been making all year long. You know, it's hard to be as consistent throwing the ball 35, 40 yards down the field as he's been. But that's been a big part of just about, you know, every one of their wins. There's one or two of those big throws. I think he's going to have a couple more of those in this game for them to get a win. But just keep doing what you're doing, because he's playing really, really well. On the other side with Bo Nix, Bo's doing a lot of really good things too. The one thing that I continue to see with Bo is that he often plays a little bit too fast. And, you know, like this last week, I think he was 31 of 38 against the Raiders, which the numbers are obviously great. And he finds positive plays, whether that's with his legs running or finding checkdowns. But there were a number of big throws in that game that he missed, big opportunities in that game that he missed by playing the game a little bit too fast and getting to his checkdown instead of staying in the pocket, settling in and reading the plays out. And I just feel like against a good Packers team, with Jordan Love making as many big plays as he's been making on the other side, that Bo's going to have to make some of those plays in this game if they're going to come out of there with a victory. You know, so that's kind of the one thing that that I want to see Bo take that next step in that area on top of all the other good things that he's doing.
All right, and lastly, who gets the QB Confidential MVP All 22 Player of the Week? What do you got?
This was a good week. You know, your guy in Minnesota, JJ McCarthy, played well. Jordan Love played well.
Hey, Bo Nix
obviously had a good game. Okay. Yeah. Jared Goff played well. But to me, it came down to two guys, and it came down to Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen
again
this past week. And Staff, you know, did what he's been doing, just playing great football, three more touchdowns and just some great throws. Him and Puka were awesome. Break that down a little bit this week on game day. But I'll give the edge to Josh Allen, you know, because I thought he played a really solid game. And then he put on the cape a couple times when he needed to, you know, kind of what we were talking about on game day, that I believe the best version of Josh Allen is when he plays on schedule and in the pocket and plays the game and allows the offense to work for him. And then when there's a couple plays, a fourth down play where you got to throw it in between three defenders and hit your guy for a touchdown, put on the cape. When there's a time where there's an unblocked defender coming at you and you got to find a way to make a miss and run 45 yards for a touchdown, you got to put on the cape. And that's exactly what he did in a game where they found themselves down and maybe outplayed early on. You know, he made a couple of those special plays along with being solid in all those other areas to help get him a big win.
Kurt, you make it fun for me, so I think I'm going to keep doing this for a while. So thank you.
All right.
I really appreciate
it. I like
here.
That you're having fun.
Thank you.
I have fun with you too. It's why we show up every Sunday and we love what we do. So
that's right.
I think I'll retire too when I stop having fun.
All right, very good. Kurt Warner, everybody. Thanks again, man. Great to see everybody. Check out QB Confidential, which is Kurt's must-follow YouTube channel. And, of course, we'll see Kurt on NFL Game Day morning for Week 15, leading to a host of games in the 1 o'clock window in Week 15. That's a fun segment, as always.
Love it.
All right, we'll take a break. You must be loving that. Oh, just Drake May. Just show up and just be you. Unbelievable.
Yes, you can confirm.
Yeah, it is great. Pretty cool stuff. Back from New York in a moment.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting here in New York City. We're on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got Higher Register coming up. I just gave mine in. Apparently, I gave one in the commercial break because, you know, I've been doing a million different things.
Yeah, yeah, busy.
Finally turned my attention to it. Normally I have one in the shoot. Apparently I repeated yours.
Oh, you repeated mine last week, so I guess I'm getting back at you.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that. Okay.
No, I repeated yours last week.
Let's go to Terzo in Iowa. What's up, Terzo?
Terzo.
All rise.
Hey, what's up, boys and donkeys? That was a funny segment yesterday.
Donkey!
That made me laugh.
We are the donkeys.
What up, man?
No, no, not us.
Yep.
Donkey!
What's going on?
So, Rich, you've given me some air hugs over the years, and I kind of feel like I need to give you a little bro hug today after what transpired.
Yeah, I need a bro hug from you today. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, hopefully Michigan will come through this in some way, shape, or form. Stronger for it. And I don't know what else to say other than the fact I appreciate your bro hug from Iowa, sir. I appreciate that.
And Rich, so I was watching that NBA game last night with Oklahoma City, and never, oof, you know, not very rarely do we see an NBA team get blown out by 49 points. And the SGA does not play in the fourth quarter this year. And they have four
ever
first round picks, I think, in this next draft. Like, this is crazy how good this team can continue to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what? It's interesting when I.
Yeah, we should be.
Well, it's kind of crazy that we're seeing that in the professional basketball. And thanks for the call, Terzo. And I'm not doing this other than to just state facts. All right, I'm serious.
Sure.
Because there is a team like that in college basketball right now. I'm seriously.
I mean,
don't argue with the facts that Michigan is blowing people out by halftime.
It's true.
Right now, I mean, their last five, six games, it has been not competitive.
Yep, yep.
You know, by halftime. So both teams that are leading the levels of basketball right now are destroying people at the professional level. You don't usually see this sort of thing.
No, whatsoever. And, you know, so a lot of comparisons, obviously, to the record-breaking Warriors team from, what was it, 2016?
I still can't get over the fact that we don't refer to Michael Jordan's Bulls as the avatar for record breakers.
Well, I guess we should. The Bulls did finish it off and win the championship.
Right.
You know, 70, but they started 24-0 that season, and Oklahoma City's now 24-1.
Right.
But they have a record-breaking point differential, over 17 points. They win every game by 17 points. We need to talk about how absolutely insane that is.
So basically,
and their best players don't play in the fourth quarter.
So I guess what you're saying is when you're playing Oklahoma City, you're just hoping to keep it to a six possession game? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just doing the math
crazy
in my head. Six times
and
three.
And they're not even really at full capacity, TJ, because J Dub is just now getting back kind of into the rotation. And we're seeing Chet blossom into, you know, he's a budding superstar. It's just outrageous to think about all the draft capital they have. Really, if they wanted to, they could go trade for Giannis because they have the draft capital.
And I wouldn't do that. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that's insane.
If they wanted to, but they don't even need to because.
But I actually believe what I just said.
Of course. But they're going to win.
Why would they?
They're going to win 75 games this year.
You just heard what Terzo was saying. Just stay the course because they have everybody else's draft choices.
Yep. And the Clippers stink, so they're getting our
all
pick as
of those
long as it's
unprotected.
Hey, man, the Rams are, I believe, the Rams are rooting it for the Buccaneers tonight.
Sure are.
Because every single Falcon loss, the Rams, who are dominant right now and most weeks in the NFL, they hold the Falcons' draft choice for next year.
Yeah, currently number 9 and only getting better.
Getting better in the old tankathon.
So they didn't care about those picks for a minute, and now
it was F them picks, now give me them.
Let's go to our friend Derek in Missouri while we're going down a lot of longtime listeners, first-time callers. Derek, what's going on,
Derek,
sir?
Derek, what up?
Not much, Rick. I'm still trying to process Phelps Rivers coming out of retirement, and when I saw the report on Tuesday, I had to make sure I still had a pulse. And it's going to be he does have to play on Sunday. Other than that, I took in the documentary on Stewart last night. Rick, that was a masterpiece from beginning to the end. Those 30 for 30 just never disappoint. You know, earlier this year, I mentioned to you about the time when I did meet Stewart at a Broncos game back in 2007. Just how gracious he was. And in that moment, he was just – you saw last night that documentary – what kind of person Stu was and what he was to you for so long. And I'm reminded 2 days ago, four years ago that we lost Demaryius Thomas. And I remember at one time, I met DT on so many occasions, and one that stands out was a time when I met him his rookie year at an autograph signing, and he was just so nice and gentle and humble. That's what how Stuart was, and I remember getting a picture of DT, and I don't know what happened to it, but I thought of this quote. It's the thought that counts whenever you come across someone like him. And like when Stuart, it was a moment that day that I'll never forget. And he was just, and when he died, of course, you know, seeing those pictures of him struggling and being tired from what he was going through. When it was all said and done, Rich, he did die a happy person. He really did.
Derek, thanks for the time and your thoughts, and I appreciate that. And Derek in Missouri here on the program. The 30 for 30 for Stuart Scott that is directed by Andre Gaines dropped, as they kids say, on the ESPN app on Wednesday night. And I can't believe that Stuart is the subject of a 30 for 30. And that part of the reason why is because he's no longer here, and that he's also closely associated with the Jim Valvano speech that Stuart and I were always highlighting when we first started hosting the ESPY Awards pre and post awards show program. Because Stuart was so full of life, and I cannot believe that this is what has happened. And that's why I still haven't wrapped my arms around his death, that he's not with us anymore. And it's just another reason why I've yet to be able to watch the documentary. I mean, I got a link for it a couple weeks ago. And because I knew when I would be out here in New York, obviously I co-hosted with Rachel Scott of ABC News last night, the Booyah fundraising event in Stuart's name and honor. It's 5 years now and running. And that the folks at ESPN and Disney, and who are so proud of this documentary, knew that I would be utilized as somebody to help promote it and other shows. I've been walking up and down the studios here for the last couple of days to talk about it. But so they gave me a link in advance. I just couldn't hit the link. There's a couple of times like, all right, I got an hour. I'd like, maybe I'm very curious to see, because I sat down for it. And I've heard nothing but great things about it. I just can't do it. And then I thought to myself, you know what, maybe, you know, I know Sue's on the set around here somewhere, but we'll sit our kids down and watch it together, because they don't know.
They don't know.
No. They don't know. I mean, they're 17, 14, and 12. Stuart's been gone for a little bit more than 10 years. You know, Zan, our oldest, is not that terribly into sports, so he wasn't sitting around as a 7-year-old or 6-year-old watching SportsCenter like so many, you know, sometimes 6- and 7-year-olds do. I will say this, let's show this story. So, the computer in my office at home is password protected, and you know how they ask you to type in a hint in case you forget what it is.
Yes.
So the hint on the computer, as it's been for well over a decade, is Stuart Scott. So Cooper, when he watched a Monday night game and saw the commercial for the documentary, turns to me and he goes, "So, Dad, the password for your computer in your office, is it Booyah?" And I'm like, "Well,
gotta change that one.
I kind of have to plead the fifth here."
It was.
I'm like, "It's part of it. Ooh. I'll be honest with you. It's part of it. It's not the full one."
Is it Coop the Mentalist now? Is that where we're going?
He's trying to,
I'm trying to be like, "Oh, like, what's going on here?"
That's what he said. "Dad, is the password Booyah?" you know? And I'm like, well, you know, let's how about this game?
Yeah,
you know, how are you doing in your guillotine league?
You hungry?
You know, but so last night it was just an awesome night. Because we're there in celebration of Stuart and we're continuing his memory, and his daughters were there and his sisters and his brother were there and his mom was there celebrating a birthday just recently. I haven't seen many of them in a long time. And I'm seeing them all there and we're talking about him. And Randy Moss won the first ever Stuart Scott Inspire award winner. And he was awesome. Randy gave a corker of a speech is, you know, the only way to describe it, talking about his battle with cancer and how ESPN and the family at NFL Live for him were part of his support system in the same way. Obviously, Stuart had a support system when he was going through what he went through. And Randy looked great. And he's, you know, was able to ring a bell and walk out, which unfortunately Stuart never got that chance. And talked about what Stuart meant as a broadcaster for him to be able to see somebody who sounded like him and looked like him be authentically himself on television, what that meant to him as a kid growing up in West Virginia and what it meant to him as an athlete and what it meant to so many other people and how he gave that speech and then handed it off to the auctioneer to start raising money in the room. $3.1 million wow, raised last awesome. Night. In support of cancer research and, of course, in Stuart's memory. And it was moving. It was awesome. And it was one of those, as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of those Jimmy V days where we were laughing, we were crying, we were touching grass, we were living. It was a full day, to use the Jimmy V phrase, and a full night last night. And so that documentary, everyone should seek it out. It's a 30 for 30 on Stuart. That gave away a good part of my password that I need to change on the home computer.
Like my phone lock.
You know, yeah, like the Coop the Mentalist. Got it done. And everyone should check it out. It's again, something that I look forward to seeing. And I hope you do, everybody at home. Let's take a break. We're back with more of your phone calls. A higher register.
Oh.
Thursday before our Bussin' with the Boys friends. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton join us here in New York.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. The Hyundai Hope on Wheels campaign. Pete, we just talked about what we raised money for last night, and Hyundai is all about making sure that the pediatric cancer research that is so necessary to be endeavored by so many people across the country is well-funded, because Hyundai Hope on Wheels has been all about, over the last 27 years, putting together over 850 dealers nationwide, and every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Over $277 million have been raised, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com, search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. And I just, I'm gobsmacked. There's so much news that's just bowling me over. You and dinner last night, and you're not a drinker, so you weren't
He was having water.
I was in control of all of my fat.
Yeah, he was.
He was tired, man.
And you weren't higher register when you're saying that the Mets have broken you and you're going to go to the Dodger fan.
I went Barry White deep on
that. Is O'Shea Jackson Jr. aware of this epiphany?
No, he's not yet.
He certainly is now.
I'll let him know. But I'm telling you, we'll take him. We'll take him in.
Yeah,
this guy.
We'll take him.
Yeah. Like, oh, by the way, since you've been here in New York, the number of people that you've told I'm a Yankee fan too.
Well, I have to.
It's an outrage. When in Rome.
He's such a jabroni.
I got to be careful.
When in Rome. I mean, you're in Rome.
On hollow ground.
You're in Rome and making me head to the vomitorium.
I have a hat with both teams. On. I'm
good
fine.
Lord.
Vomitorium.
We need to call him Chancleta because he's just a flip flopper. You know what I mean?
We're calling him a what?
Chancleta.
That's a.
Let me Google that one up.
Why am I working? People have no clue.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep your career moving forward, everybody. Visit careers.progressive.com. Again, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's a Thursday, so it's time for higher register, everybody. I got to be honest with you. I put mine in late. Normally, I'm the first one in.
Yep.
But my higher register was exactly what Chris had, so I had to come up with a new one. Last week, I put mine in first. He had the same one I did, so he had to change.
I had to change mine because we talked about mine during the segment right before.
But I'll be honest with you. I kind of thought Chris should have been the one to change again.
Oh. I mean, it is the Rich Eisen.
You know what I mean? Just saying.
You're the reason we're in the building.
I
kind of
thought,
right now,
like when I come up with mine, it shouldn't matter when I come up with it.
I got to admit, you should kind of jump to the front of the line.
Thank you. I kind of agree.
But I only say that because
first come, first serve.
Had it been mine, I would have gave you a completely different.
I kind of think that's the way it should have been.
If you want to take mine, I can come.
No, it's all right.
I've got a spare one
if
you need it.
Okay.
I know. All right, hit it.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher register. Take of the week.
All right, everybody. Caliendo's coming in next week, by the way.
Yes. Him and Hank make me laugh more than,
Tell me about most people. Okay, so higher register Chris Brockman.
Yeah, you go first.
What do you got?
Pretty monster game in Denver, Colorado on Sunday. Broncos, as we know, number one seed in the AFC right now, 6-0 at home. Green Bay heating up at the right moment. They've only lost one game on the road. And I look at this matchup, and I think, Rich Eisen, where have I seen this before? Broncos, Packers might be a Super Bowl preview.
I know.
Ooh, might be.
I hear you.
Iconic Elway helicopter play from a while.
There's always that game, like week 12 and beyond, where at the time you're kind of thinking it. You got a feeling. You got an inkling. Yeah. If you remember the year that the Chiefs and the Bucks played one another. Romo even said that coming off the field, wondering if this could be a Super Bowl preview, and they turned out to be exactly that, and the Bucs went ahead and won it. Got to wonder about that.
Yeah.
You know, what else is there in the AFC, NFC?
There's some championship game possible previews this week.
Yeah.
You look at Bills, Pats, Lions, Rams.
Colts, Seahawks kind of smacked of one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's kind of lost a little luster.
Oh, here comes Philly Riv. All right, what do you got over there, TJ Jefferson?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. You see, last Sunday when Daniel Jones went down clutching his Achilles, right? We all assumed that the Colts could change their name to Saran because it was a wrap.
It was over, right? All right.
But then all of a sudden, here comes Old Man Rivers, and we're wondering, can this guy at 44, can he really make a difference? And I believe, man, Jay-Z said 40 is a new 30. I believe, so therefore... With the return of Philip Rivers to Indianapolis, the Colts, they're going to be just fine. Everything's going to be fine. Let me tell you, the old guy's going to get it done, okay? Like, we're all over 40, and I think we can get things done, so,
like it.
Okay.
I just wonder if your voice is so deep.
I just wonder
if you're ever going to do this segment without it sounding like somebody's grabbing a body part of yours.
Well, maybe they need to. Okay. So,
all right,
not just somebody.
Wow. Yeah,
I'm just made a Saban joke. God. All right, listen. What do you need to win in the National Football League? You need defense, certainly on the road, certainly when it gets cold. You also need a red-hot quarterback who's providing some dreams and some hope to a fan base that could really use it.
Mm, yes.
And I understand they just lost the Tennessee Titans at home. But going into Soldier Field this Sunday is Shedeur Sanders coming off of that monster stat line game that no Brown quarterback has ever done. And we saw what he did. I think Shedeur Sanders could beat the Bears this week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think he'd go into Soldier Field.
Wow.
And he could just go in there and say, okay, I couldn't beat the first overall pick from my draft. Doesn't mean I can't beat first overall pick from previous drafts.
Okay.
I think that could be something to keep an eye on. Taylor Lewan and Will Compton are coming up to wrap up hour two here.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.